Thank you all for your support for the team. It's exciting to know what they're going, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do through them. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed." Then ye are my disciples indeed. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." How many of you remember those words? Amen. I want you to know that I haven't closed the door to giving out prizes. And if you come to me anytime and quote him in my ear, the grand prize is still waiting for somebody. Some reason or other, it evaded all of you. So there must be someone special that grand prize is for. So I just want you to know the invitation is still open for those scriptures. They're so powerful. "Then are ye my disciples indeed." I love the way Jesus puts that, indeed, "if you continue in my word." And so many times we do not follow that. We get too busy, distracted, and we let the word out of our lives. Before I continue here, let's just have a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for this lovely morning. Thank you, God, for these six that are going. I just continually want to lift them up to you, and I pray that all of us would. Lord, anoint your word, and I just pray that you'd give my mind clarity and sharpness, as sometimes my faculties don't always work. And so I just look to you for strength, for clarity, and for anointing. And I pray that your spirit would speak to all of our hearts today. We love you and we praise you for your glory, for your kingdom. Amen. This week, I had an interesting week. I was thinking a lot about sharing a message, standing tall in the battle. And for some odd reason, God took me to one of the things in the battle that we face continuously in our lives is fear. How it cripples us, how it manipulates us, how it handicaps us, and how it keeps us from achieving the purposes that God has put us here for. I had therapy time with a therapist this week, and I noticed she had a boot on her foot, and it looked like she had damaged or injured her foot. So she's always asking me the question when I come in, on a scale of 1 through 10, how's your pain? And so I flipped the question back on her as she was making me do all these things that they like to make me do to strengthen me. And I flipped it back on her, and I just also looked at her. I said, on a scale of 1 through 10, how's your pain level? And she just started laughing. She laughed and laughed. She said, "You're just flipping that right back on me, aren't you?" I said, "I am. I'm concerned about you. You got an injured foot there." And so we chatted about that a little bit. My question to you this morning is, how's your fear level this morning? You know, I used to be so fearful, waking up at night and thinking, what if the Lord comes and I don't know him, I'm not ready? You ever been there? Terrible. things that go through my mind. And it was just as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Come into my heart. Take over. Take charge of my life that I don't have to be fearful anymore. But I didn't do that at the time because I wasn't ready really to give up. I had things that I wanted to mess with yet and things that I wanted to try and all the different things that young people and even older people go through sometimes. We're going to talk about the battle of fear. You know, fear is can be a good thing. I'm not saying fear is a bad thing. It can be a good thing. God allows it to be in the fabric of our lives. Often it helps us in speeding us up, or it keeps us walking right. But when it becomes an obsession, when it becomes controlling in our lives, when it becomes a phobia, that's not what God would want to happen in our lives. Because what happens is that controls us instead of Jesus. You see this yardstick that I have with me today. We like to measure with it. And so often in life, we measure things in life by our own standard yardstick. Do you know that God's yardstick is so much greater than this yardstick? Why do we limit things in life to our yardstick? Because when we do, what comes in is fear. When we measure with our own yardstick. You know, Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are much higher. And we often stay right here with our own yardstick instead of, it's unbelievable what God can do. It's yardstick upon yardstick upon yardstick. His ways are so high. Ours are so low. Why do we measure life with a standard yardstick? You know, there's two guys in Deuteronomy that always, or in Numbers, Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, that have inspired me so much. They did not use their own yardstick. Because if they would have, they would have succumbed to the crowd. The crowd of 10 said, no, we can't do this, because they were measuring it with their own yardstick. They saw the giants in the land. They saw the walled cities that were way up, they said, as high as the heaven. And you know how it was like a cancer. It spread through the whole crowd. The whole nation of Israel was affected by it. And because of that, they went out and suffered 40 more years because of 10 men rather than two. Two stood up and did not use that yardstick. That yardstick that was just down here. It wasn't way up here. They said, for the rest of the crowd, it was just here. But for them, the yardstick they looked at was God's yardstick. It just went up, up, up. They said, we can do this. Yes. God opened the way for us. This land is ours. It's ours for the taking. We can go in and grab it. And we can experience a richness in life by allowing God to protect us and control us and direct our steps rather than our own thoughts and our own ways, which is the normal yardstick of life. You know, it's interesting, when I was a kid, I loved reading Ann Landers. How many of you read Ann Landers? Huh. That's probably before some of your day. Anyway, Ann Landers would get thousands and thousands of mail a month from her readers, and her readers would have always some kind of awful thing happening, or maybe it was a good thing, but she said predominantly every letter was dominated or controlled with the fear factor. I thought that was interesting as I was reading that. I thought, yeah, it's true. I remember reading many of them, and I could just feel the fear in some of the things that they approach her with, their questions and stuff. And, you know, that's not abnormal. But when it gets to the point where it dominates your life and controls your every step, that's horrible. You know, there was a man that used to cross the Chesapeake Bay every day for work. Now, the Chesapeake Bay, a bridge, is a long bridge. I don't know how long it is. But he'd be scared to death every time he went across that bridge. He thought, what if someday I just stop and jump out and jump over the bridge and take my life? He would think that a lot. And so that began to grip him every time he started crossing that bridge. And you know what he did? He said he handcuffed his hands to the steering wheel so that it would keep him from jumping. I couldn't imagine that kind of fear, but it controlled him. There was a lady also that would go outside and go for a walk, and that she would sometimes go out and mingle. But one day she got so fearful. What if? I've seen a lot of people like that. It's not only ladies, even men. I had customers that go, what if my water is going to poison me? What if it's going to ruin my life? And oh, what if it's going to ruin my fixtures? And she's just rubbing her hands and wringing. I said, well, we can fix that. It's okay. But she still would be wringing her hands. And she would call me all the time, or he would call me. I have one guy right now that calls me all the time. Is my water soft? I'm going to give you a sample, and you keep testing it for me, just worrying about it. And what if? Well, you know what happened to this lady that kept going, what if? She went in her house, locked the door, and decided she's not going to go out unless she absolutely has to. And that's how she lived. And the story goes on to say that every now and then she'd go out and get some groceries, and every now and then she'd go get some ice cream, but otherwise than that, she'd stay inside because she was so afraid. What if? What if? So I would just like to speak a little bit. I don't want to take too much time because Dave told me they have to get out of here soon. But I'd just like to talk about standing tall, which is simply saying being courageous. Just as the Lord three times in one chapter in Joshua told Joshua, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous. And I would like to leave those words with you today too. In the book of Joshua, the Lord said, be strong, be courageous, be not afraid, for the Lord your God will go with you whithersoever you go. You know, often in our lives, there's a road bend that happens in our walk, and we can't see beyond that bend, and we don't know what's lurking around the corner. Do you ever go up a hill here in Holmes County? It's famous. You go up a hill, and all of a sudden, you can't see anything in front of you. Everything, it's like there's nothing. And I almost get scared. I go, am I going to make it on the other side here? As an older person, you think of that sometimes. Go up, and also all you see is sky. Well, that's the way it is often in the road bend in our journey. You wonder, what in the world is around that corner? What is it? Something that is going to cause me trouble? Is it something that's going to end my life? Is this disease that I'm battling? Is it going to take my life? 1st thing I like to look at about fear, fear disregards God's plan. And if you, in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, there's a verse that says, "So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you see on the way to the mountains of the Amorites." Oh, the Amorites, they were terrible people. And so that was very intimidating. And then the verse goes on to say, "The Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, 'You have come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear.'" And there is that command again, do not fear. And some reason or other, we disregard that so often as his children. "Do not fear or be discouraged." Deuteronomy 1, 19 through 21. God's mandate was very clear. He said, "Here's your land. Here is my gift to you, and I'll go grab it. You may stand, you and I may be standing today at the threshold of God's greatest promise for us, but we'll never claim his blessings if we let fear dominate our lives." And that's what happened to the children of Israel, and they wandered again for 40 years suffering because of disregarding the Lord's mandate, the Lord's command, "Fear not, be not discouraged." Listen carefully to the words of Paul on this subject. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 1:7. And I find that verse so interesting. Love isn't conquered. A sound mind doesn't deal in irrational speculation, which fear takes us so much. God has a rich territory, a promised land with your name on it, and he wants you to charge toward it with a cry of victory, not a wail of fear. The Bible even tells us what that cry of victory should sound like. And I love this scripture found in Romans 8:15. "You did not receive the spirit of adoption," the spirit of bondage again to fear, "but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father,'" Romans 8:15. Call out his name, you and I. Let's just call out his name when we get to those moments where we are fearful. Call out. This verse assures us we can claim the intimacy with him of a small child telling or calling out to his daddy. He has adopted us as his own, and we have all the rights of the children of the king. We don't have to face anything alone. We often act like we're so alone. We're not. And you know, there's just a lot of people that I get in contact with. They said, "I'm so alone." I said, "No, you're not. You have, God said, 'I will be with you whithersoever you go, and I will never forsake you,' no matter where you're at." Those are such beautiful promises. And you know, there was a time in my life when I was going through medical withdrawal. Different medications that the doctor had me on. And you know what? It sent me into a tailspin of panic. You ever have panic attacks? They're horrible. And I had them. I hate to say it. I wouldn't want to get up in the morning. I just want to stay in bed. I was too afraid to get up. Afraid of what I might face. It made me so fearful. Medications can be awful things, especially when they're not used right or when the doctor does something with it, unbeknownst that it's going to cause you all kinds of trouble. But you know what helped me the most during those times of panic attack? It was going in the Word. I would go in the Word every day and just spend hours in the Word and praying. And I could feel those panic things just evaporate in the air. A closer relationship with Jesus Christ is a wonderful answer for fear, is a wonderful answer for panic attacks. A closer relationship. And that was Joshua and Caleb's testimony. If you read in Numbers, the book of Numbers, it said they were wholly committed to the Lord, which that simply says they were close. They were close to God. They were not fearful because of their tight relationship with the Lord. Are you tight this morning with the Lord? I love that phrase, being tight with Him every day. And that's just the words of Jesus. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And if you're at that point, then you're going to understand the truth, and it's going to set you free from whatever is trying to hold you down, whatever manipulates is trying to manipulate you, whatever you're battling with. It'll set you free if you continue in my word. And that's what happened to me when I was struggling with panic attacks. It set me free. You know, I was so bad, I would get up in the morning and I would be afraid to walk too far, and I would take a deep breath. And Sarah looked at me, "Dad, what's wrong with you?" And I would just simply say, I don't know. I would try to pass it off. A closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And then to commit your life to Christ, as I shared earlier, just surrender to Jesus. Everything. Don't hold anything back. That was Caleb and that was Joshua. They didn't hold anything. They said they wholly gave themselves to the Lord. Holy means everything. Wholly. I'm going to close this up early. I'm going to cut out a bunch of things that I had written down here because of the other thing that I did that was so powerful that took me above fear and took me above panic was grabbing hold of the promises. The protection of God's promises are so powerful. Words like, be strong and of good courage, do not fear, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 11:6, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. What can happen to me if I'm, you know, that was so powerful in my life. When I lay there on a cart waiting for heart surgery, and the fear wanted to get hold of me and say, you know what, you might not wake up from this. This might be it for you. Some people don't ever wake up. They're done. And I said, Lord, if that's me, I just want to rest in your arms right now. Just hold me and I know that you're with me, and I don't need to fear anything because you are on my side. You have my best in mind, and I just lay in peace as they administer the anesthesia, whatever that stuff is. anesthetic, anesthesia, whatever. Proverbs 3:25 through 26, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. And it's wonderful to have that confidence and peace in your heart in a moment of crisis, in a moment of a possibility that you could be terrorized. I often wonder what would happen to me if somebody would come into my house and terrorize my family. Would I? And that's when the real you comes out at moments like that. What would I do? What would you do? Would you stand there paralyzed from the icy grip of fear, or would you be calm and confident in the Lord? Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs 3:25 through 26. Proverbs 29:25, and here's a verse we often hear, and it's true. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. You know, those kind of verses, we need to fill our lives and claim them. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You know, fear, when it manipulates you, it's unbelief. God can't do much with people that are full of unbelief. You're not trusting God. You're not claiming His protection. God's promises bring so much protection to us during times of fear and terror. There was a preacher years ago, and I'm going to close with this. His name was Harry Ironside. He was a great preacher. And you know, one of his fun things that he loved to do with his son is play bear. He called the game bear. He would be the bear, and he would chase his son all over the room, growling, and his son would run and scream and hide. And one day, the game became so intense because the bear cornered this little boy. A lot of times, this little boy was elusive and got away, but then he cornered him real tight, and the little son was just trembling. And all of a sudden, he turned around and he said, I'm not afraid, you're my daddy. And he ran in and grabbed him and hugged him. You know, that's the way God wants us to be. Just as He said, Abba, Father, you're my daddy, why should I be afraid? He jumped in his dad's arms and his dad held him, and he felt so safe and so secure. And that's how God would long for us to jump in His arms, cry out, Abba, Father, as Romans 8, verse 15 says so beautifully. Thank you all. Appreciate every one of you, and I just pray that you would not allow the horrible thing of fear to dominate your life. You know, another reason why I chose that was part of one of our battles. It's just one of the many battles we have. But that seems to be the most powerful one right now, because recently I was talking with a man, and I was in a men's restroom, and he spoke. Somehow we got on the subject about things that what we are involved in life. And he said, I struggle so much with fear. Then I talked to another man later, so much with fear. And then people that I deal with in water softener world, so many are, there's just an underlying theme of fear in their lives. And you can feel it in their questions. You can feel it in their responses. We don't have to live like that, brothers and sisters. We don't have to live with the phobia of fear controlling us, crippling us, keeping us bound up. We can be free. The truth will set you free. Lord God, thank you for each one. Thank you for your word this morning. It's so powerful. It's so rich. It's full of promises, Lord, that you long for us to grab and hold close to our hearts, Lord. And as we walk through life, that protection of those wonderful promises, I will be with you. Fear not, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall I, shall you, shall me draw out of the wells of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful word and for all the people here. And again, go with the team. Go, may your blessing go with each one. And I pray that if there's someone here shackled, they would find you, Lord, today. They would confess their heart to you, their fears, their struggles, whatever it is, and allow you to unshackle them. Thank you, Father, for salvation and for your blood that redeems us, that revives us, that replenishes us, that restores us. Oh, Lord, you've restored my life, and I praise you for it. And I know you've restored many here today. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.